So we return to Dogen's fascicle 54, and sentient beings speak Dharma. And here are the raindrops stealing the show. Speaking as loudly as they can. Listen, listen. How can you miss it? So it is pretty wonderful to sit in this snug tent. It keeps us warm and dry. And listen to the sounds around us that are offered freely to all. At every moment, everywhere, the rain and the birds, the sounds of the waves, the wind, the occasional car that comes and goes. And Dogen warns us that this is not something, these insentient beings speaking the Dharma are not just about listening with the ear. He says, insentient beings do not necessarily speak Dharma with a voice heard by the ears. He adds. So there's Dongshan's verse at the end of the conversation that Diane read to us yesterday. He says, how splendid, how wondrous, inconceivable. Insentient beings speak Dharma. The ears never hear it. Only the eyes do. This is inconceivable. It's not something that our minds can take hold of. And the preaching cannot be received with the cognitive brain. It's inconceivable. The ears cannot hear it. Only the eyes do. And this is the eyes that are all over the body. Somewhere in here he makes a fairly exhaustive list of where the eyes are and how many there are. And it basically means everywhere. And just in case we didn't get the message, he continues. And I've lost that one. But at any rate, we get the message that this is not just about doing zazen and listening to sounds. That's an excellent entry place because it is indeed insentient beings speaking the Dharma. But we don't limit it. No need to limit it there. How do we enter into the inconceivable? We've talked about this body practice, this way of sensing through the body, not just the sensory organs, the skin, the feelings, the touch that we tend to think of, but in some other way that involves what Dogen refers to as eyes all over the body. This is not something that anyone can teach you or tell you how to do. We sit and explore. It's a wonderful experiment, this life. And so here we're free to explore it in every way we want. And one of the things that I most value about this practice is that I can talk about such things that seem pretty wacky and woo-woo, and others understand what I mean. And so we can explore to our heart's content, and no one will look askance at us. No one in this room. So, veering away briefly, yesterday the subject of hope came up in listening to the cries of the world of insentient beings. Rocks, walls, pebbles, tiles. These are the ones that Dogen refers to, but we also know trees, butterflies, whales, and we ourselves in danger. So many cries to listen to. And so we naturally turn one of two ways. There is this polarity that the mind wants to engage in. And it's either hope or despair. I always cringe a bit when I hear the word hope. Although it can be used differently. So the reason that I cringe is that so often hope is based around what we want, what we prefer, what we think is the best thing to happen. And we really don't have a large enough perspective to know what that is. We are part of this story. We are part of this earth. We have arisen up out of the earth, the same as everything else that's here. And we are not somehow separate, not somehow a different category. We're just a really spectacularly successful one that has had its way with the earth. Not to say that any other species would not do the same. Imagine the dinosaurs had a pretty spectacular impact too. So how do we know what to hope for? There's a line in T.S. Eliot's poem, since I don't have a way to look it up right now, but I do remember that he cautions against hope because he says, hope would be hope for the wrong thing. So if we don't extend out our hope, where do we go? Generally, the answer is into the opposite polarity, into despair. If we can't hope, what's left? And so we fall into despair. Despair is, there's nothing I can do. Despair is, it will all end badly, no matter what. Despair is, I'm just going to pull in and not feel the hurt and not hear the cry. And we can see that that's no more useful than hoping for the wrong thing and aiming for something that pleases us. This piece that we read today in our liturgy, Hope in the Dark, it had always a bit grated on me when I came upon it in the liturgy book because of that word hope. But in rereading it, I think she frames it very nicely, and so I'd like to point it out again. I wish there were another word to use rather than hope, to distinguish it from that which is polar. But I think what she's talking about is something else. She says, hope is an embrace of the unknown and the unknowable, an alternative to certainty. So we don't know. We don't know how it should turn out. We don't know what would be the right answer. It's the belief that what we do matters, so not to shirk our responsibility to act just because we don't know. What we do matters, even though how and when it may matter, who and what it may impact are not things we can know beforehand. So not a definite direction, only a provisional one. In this moment, this is the way to respond, and so we do. And it may turn out that that response is not helpful and we can shift direction. Not knowing what to hope for, but for the moment, maybe this. We do what we can. It's very subtle and difficult. We want certainty so much. Give me a direction and man, I will go for it. And it's not like that. She says, let's see. They're not things we can know beforehand, what matters and how and who and what it may impact. We may not know them afterward, but they matter all the same. We don't have to know what is the result of our actions in order for them to be important. We offer them up to the universe and let go of the results. This is also a difficult practice because everything in our lives is that you do something with a goal and you work to attain it and you judge whether or not you are successful by what you have or have not attained. And this is a whole other matter that we're doing here in responding to the cries that we hear. So not to fall into the error of hope and despair, that there is another way that is the way of uncertainty, and that it is possible to embrace that and to walk that way. So, if we're not aimed for particular results, what is it? What is the practice? What is this matter of hearing and sentient beings? And Dogen says something interesting that I think relates to that. Let's see. He says, I am not asking you what happens when sentient beings hear it. That is, hear in sentient beings. But what happens at the precise moment when sentient beings hear the Dharma expounded? He's not asking for what do you get out of it afterwards. He's not asking for where does it take you. He's interested in the precise moment of encounter. What happens in that moment? And he gives us pointers all through this passage. The one that I mentioned the other day, that he leads with. This speaking Dharma is spoken by Dharma. So no subject or object. When we are truly intimate with this moment, there is no we, or we encompasses everything. The sound of the rain explodes throughout the universe. Where is there room for me? Why limit? Why create those delineations? So at the precise moment of intimacy, explore what happens. Here is the opportunity to hear the voice of insentient beings with eyes all over the body, eyes that see everywhere with nothing left out, that include all of the universe. Toward the end, Dogen throws in a little nugget. It doesn't seem to relate to anything else before or after. I mean, he doesn't discuss it. He just kind of tosses it in there, as best I can tell. It says, an ancient teacher, Xuanzha, said, the entire world of the ten directions is no other than a monk's single eye. A monk's single eye. Your single eye. A single eye. The universe's single eye. The entire world of the ten directions, no other than a single eye. All those eyes all over the body, all over the universe. Nothing but a single eye. And this is the eye that sees in that moment of intimacy. This is the moment when there is no dichotomy, no hope or despair, no judging good or bad, no sifting through and categorizing, just the one bright pearl, just the wholeness. No me and it, no one hearing and one heard, only that. Perhaps we let the rain have the last word.